I'm here with Kevin Chavez, president of the PAC West Association. Nice show, Kevin.
Thanks, Lynn. We're having a good time. It's great to see everybody. It's always good to get in together with NFDA and the people from there, and it's nice to see everybody.
This is my first show over here at PAC West, and I just wondered, how many times has PAC West teamed up with the NFDA for a tabletop?
This is our first time teaming up with them for the tabletop. We've teamed up on other stuff with them, and like I said, it's great to see them. We get to put together some pretty good programs for people, get to, you know, get together and have a much broader view of what's going on in the world.
Okay, so I see a lot of work being done here, and boy, the show looks great. So what I want to ask you with this show, what did you guys do really well?
You know, I thought so far, you know, we're in day one of the overall show, but the opening party was just excellent. The participation from everybody that came out was just wonderful. Everybody seemed to have a good time, and you got to network with a lot of people. So that's, you know, really good. I also thought today's programming was excellent. Mm-hmm. And we had two really good speakers talk somewhat about dealing with people and storytelling. And we also had one that was an economist that was hopefully telling us where the future is going as much as he could.
What about the times? Tell me about the times of the tabletop, 3 to 7.
You know, we picked those times basically so that we could get the local market in the L.A. area and get people that are working and still allow them to work and show up and still see all the vendors and see the people that they don't get to see all the time. We've got a really wide representation of exhibitors and, you know, from all across the country. So a lot of the people that are coming and visiting the tabletops are people that don't get to go to things like Vegas and see what, you know, the vendors. So it's really good to get everybody out. And, you know, that's why we do it later in the day, so that people can still go in and do their work and come back.
And I think it's a great idea. It's very busy out there. Everyone's relaxed. We're having a good movement at the booths and everything, so I think that was a good shot.
Thanks. You know, the alcohol kind of helps that, too.
Yeah, well, the alcohol helps a lot of things. Thank you for taking the time out. I'm here with
Chris Elder with the Lab Materials Testing in Rancho Cucamonga.
All right, and we're here at the PAC West and NFDA show. How's it going for you?
The show's been immense already. We got to meet a lot of really good distributors and manufacturers that we've made some good connections with.
Okay, is this your first tabletop?
Are you saying that I look ripe here? look too young? No, no. This is my second one actually. And my first one was out in Las Vegas. So the Vegas convention, the national convention, was my first. But this has been helpful. It's a smaller venue than the Vegas convention, but it has a lot of, like I said, really good connections going on.
I am here with
John Gaudette from Metrica Multistandard.
And Bob Bear from Avid Interfest.
Okay, so we have John's the exhibitor, Bob is the attendee. How is the show, fellas?
It's excellent.
It's a good show. It's great. A lot of interesting products all in one place.
What's the difference between this and Vegas?
This is more personable. Smaller crowd. You get to spend more time with people.
Again, I think I agree with John. It's a smaller show. You can talk with people really up close. Very similar to the Midwest tabletop show, where you get to spend more time with people and you're not competing with other people for conversation.
So I have like a golfing question for you guys here. If in business, if we had a mulligan where you could do a year over, what would be the year you would do over?
2008.
I was going to say 2009, but I think they both kind of ran into each other.
Thank you. All right, I'm with
Baron Yarbrough with Spring Bolt and Nut Manufacturing.
And we're at the PAC West, and tell me, how is it going?
It's going great. Meeting a whole lot of new people that I've never had the opportunity to meet before, so.
Is this your first tabletop?
First tabletop here. We usually stick to Texas tabletops, mm-hmm. So oil and gas. So actually doing a more fastener-driven mm-hmm. tabletop's a great opportunity.
And it's been well received.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's super. So I guess we'll see you again.
Yes.
Thank you, Barrett.
Thank you.
I'm over here with the Young Fastener Professionals, and I'm with...
Bob Morrissey with American Ring.
Matt Roberts from WJ Roberts Company.
And Aaron Shushan from Specialty Sales.
All right, fellas. Throughout all the FTR broadcasts and everybody talking about the young professionals, it seems like everybody says, one, you've got to build relationships to be successful. And then the second thing that you have to do is have knowledge, right? So let's play chicken or the egg. Chicken and the egg. So what comes first? Knowledge or relationships?
Relationships, not even close.
I would say relationships.
I'd say relationships as well.
Okay, and why is that? Why is it knowledge, number one?
Knowledge comes with time more so, I think. The more longer you're in the industry, the more people you get to know, the more you're going to learn.
Okay, everybody agrees?
Yeah, the relationships are what are going to bring you the knowledge. You relate to very, you know, established connections in our industry, and they're the ones who teach you.
Time for Fully Threaded Radio.
It is Fully Threaded Radio, voice of the FCH Sourcing Network. This is the online, on-demand Fastener Talk radio show where each and every episode we attempt to shine light on the true face of the fastener industry. So, if you have an interest in that sort of thing, and a strong stomach, let's face it, you found the right podcast and we're so glad you clicked in, everyone. Eric Dudas here, and the co-host of Fully Threaded is with me as well. Everybody knows him. He's Brian Musker. Hey, Brian. Doing all right?
I am, thank you. Actually, I'm sort of wondering what the true face of the fastener industry is.
Well, that's what we attempt to find out. I guess that's why we do this virtual unmasking each and every episode. And I suppose listeners are really the ones to tell us if we're doing a good job of that or not.
They should. I mean, we'd like to get feedback from them, so hopefully they will, okay?
Well, we ask them every episode. We'll try again on this one. And I think we're going to supply quite a bit of information for them to make that judgment once again on this episode 115 of the podcast. This time we're publishing on April 13th, 2017. Thanks again, everyone, for clicking in. We'll get things started today with a conversation with Christy Jones of Spiral International Corporation. She'll give us the rundown on a very exciting new surface treating technology that's branded Armor Galve. We get a little technical here, but it's very interesting. Today's feature segment is a conversation with 2017 Fastener Professional of the Year Award recipient, Mr. Robbie Gilchrist. He's got lots to say, as he always does, and it was great to sit down with him once again on the podcast. On the Fastener News Report, Mike McNulty has all the headlines and also welcomes incoming NFDA President Kevin Miller to review the latest FDI numbers. He also peels the onion on the topic of federal funding of Ivy League colleges, which is a piece of classic McNulty that you're not going to want to miss, McNulty fans.
Yeah.
On top of all that, Jeff Kammerer from Fastenal joins in to tell us about the recent acquisition of Michigan-based Mansco. Lots of true faces in the industry right there for us, Bray.
Yeah, I know.
As there are in our lineup of sponsors, aren't there?
Right, yeah, we have a wide range, and we're very lucky to have them. The title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Steelfast and the Lindstrom family of companies, including Titan Fasteners. Steelfast, for service you deserve and people you trust. And the Lindstrom family of companies, Lindstrom, by any measure. Also sponsoring Fully Threaded Radio are 3Q, USA-made fasteners, Buckeye Fasteners, Fastener Fair Mexico, InSequel Software, the National Fastener and Mill Supply Expo, the Worth Group, ND Industries, Fastenal, Fault Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Thanks to all of you. We look forward to keeping up our long-time friendship with you and meeting you probably next time over in Cleveland.
And possibly unmasking some of you.
Right. See, unmasking, it worries me a little bit, okay?
Whatever the hell that means.
Okay.
Hey, folks, get with us anytime. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com. We're also out there on Twitter where the handle's Fully Threaded. Before we launch into all of that good stuff, there's a handful of Fastener calendar events that are right around the corner, and we want to lead off with all of that because, well, let's just say it this way. We're excited to see all of you there, and a lot of good people have put a lot of good work into all of this. The first one of these is the NCFA Distributor Social, which is happening on May 18th in Independence, Ohio. We talk about this one all the time. It's a great event. This will be the 9th rendition. Brian, you're heading out for it this time, aren't you?
Yep. And probably Lynn, actually, I think.
Well, I sure hope that she does, because she was actually instrumental in helping us this time, because we've got a very interesting event happening. If you are going to make it out to the social this time, folks, be advised that we're going to have a training trailer, which is an all-new thing, which has been assembled by a local college out here in the Cleveland area, and they call it Tri-C. I believe it stands for Cuyahoga Community College, but it's a trailer that actually on board has all kinds of equipment, including tooling stuff, 3D printing, and some welding equipment. And this is going to be on site. You'll have a chance to tour this training facility, and we'll also hear from a representative from Tri-C. I believe that's going to be at 4 p.m., so about an hour before the doors to the actual social open up.
Okay, we like to see people involved in training, and that's a good thing, especially for younger people, too, so at school.
Yeah, 100%. Plus, a lot of the folks, manufacturers in particular, in our part of the world, they should be aware of what's available to some of their future potential employees.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. So, again, Lynn found this thing and passed it off to the board, and I got to say, Jackie, kind of a big deal in this industry, ran with that ball and made it all happen, put it together. Now it'll be there at the NCFA Distributor Social happening May 18th. Get out there online. You can join up now. In addition to all that, there's going to be at least 250 people there for this 9th rendition of the social. The website is ncfaonline.com.
Good. Yep. It's a fun event.
And just a couple weeks after that, event number two we want to bring to your attention, folks, is Fastener Tech. Fastener Tech 17. It's the biennial event, this time happening June 5th through the 7th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. That's in Rosemont, Illinois. Get out there to fastenertech.com for details. And most of you are already aware that on June 7th, so the third day of that event, is the Fastener Industry Coalition Summit. And that's from 1 to 6 p.m., and there are some really, really great educational seminars that are happening during that time frame. So if you haven't gotten yourself and folks from your company signed up for that, please do get out to fastenercoalition.org, read up on what's happening at this year's summit, which is, again, on June 7th, and it's an extra bonus if you're staying for the MWFA golf outing, which is happening on the 8th. So you got a place to cool your heels and possibly unmask some of your fellow fastener industry friends.
Okay. I'm going to leave someone else to represent me to the golf outing, okay?
We're going to get you out there one of these days, Bry.
Possibly, yeah. I think I'll just let Rob Reynolds represent me, I think, okay? I think he does a pretty good job at that.
Well, you could do a lot worse.
I know.
Finally, but certainly not least on our list of calendar items before we launch into this episode in earnest, don't forget, everybody, June 20th through 21st, it's Fastener Fair Mexico. That's produced by Mac Brooks. It's happening, of course, in Mexico City. We've talked about that a little bit previously. We'll have somebody who's very familiar with the show on with us to discuss it next time. But if you do business in South or Central America, or if you're thinking about it, this is an event you don't want to miss. It's kind of unique in that regard because, let's face it, this is the biggest event covering that geographical area in the fastener industry. So Fastener Fair Mexico, June 20th and 21st. Go to fastenerfair.com/Mexico.
Yeah, I have it on very good authority that Rose of the Rivet is going to be there again, too. From the horse's mouth, you could say.
Creo que sí, señor.
Yeah.
Well, Bri, we usually don't jam that kind of stuff into the top of the show, but wanted to shoehorn it in here because all of those events are very important and fully threaded listeners should be aware. Having said that, we've got quite a bit to cover today, so why don't we take a break and we'll be right back to put a wrench to this one. It's Fully Threaded
Radio, predominantly fastener related.
Brian and Eric, Fully Threaded Radio. It's Fastener Dog Approved Talk Radio for the fastener industry.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001:2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast. Service you deserve. People you trust.
What's the real value of Lindstrom? You probably know us as a leading specialty fastener master distributor. But what really sets us apart is a commitment to providing added value for the distributors we serve. Over the years, we've developed a solid foundation of value-added specialties, including hard-to-find products, expertise in secondary processes, in-house manufacturing, technical services, and unique inventory management programs. As we continue to expand, Lindstrom is focused on a single goal: to bring our distributors the perfect combination of convenience, flexibility, value, and choice. To be the source for everything distributors need. When you need something special, turn to Lindstrom. To learn more about Lindstrom and our expanded brand of value-added products and services, visit LindstromFastener.com or call a sales representative at 1-800-572-5550. Lindstrom, by any measure.
Fastener distributors, 3Q Inc. is the best-kept secret for all of your fastener needs. 3Q is the premier sourcing solution for the fastener distribution market. 3Q offers stock and release programs on all special fastener products, from flat washers, lock nuts, cold form specials, to bolts and screws. Looking to add the highest quality line of self-drilling screws? Check out the pull-tight line of serrated self-drilling screws. They bite. Distributors who know of 3Q wonder how they ever operated before without the high level of service and quality support provided by 3Q and their staff. The number 3, the letter Q, 3Q Inc. Quality products, quality service, quality customers. Welcome to 3Q.
Hi, this is Joanne with Star Stainless in Woodville, Illinois. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you and exploring the Fastener Talk Radio studio space, Fully Threaded. Well, everyone, at the top of today's show, we heard some sound bites, a little montage of those bites, created by the lovely and talented Lynn Dempsey, as always. She was working for us real hard out there in Long Beach at the PacWest and NFDA joint conference, and that happened March 15th through the 18th. It was great to have you guys out there, Bri. Of course, Jackie, kind of a big deal, Ventura joined us out there, and there were several other people from the Midwest, but it was a fantastic event overall, don't you think?
Oh, no, it was great, yeah. Had a lot of fun, and for both sets of events, actually, for the seminars, which I thought pretty good, though I have to say that the speaker who was, you know, speaking about the, I guess, the future of the economy, largely the world economy, but more particularly American economy, sort of was a bit rather non-committal. I mean, I guess that's how you make the money as a consultant. You don't actually have to commit to anything, otherwise you might be proved wrong.
Yeah, I think we've all figured that out by now. That was Dr. Bill Connerly.
Yeah.
It's not really a slam against him. I mean, it's just part of the job, I think. It's an occupational hazard that if you get too specific, you're going to be wrong most of the time. That's just the nature of economics, I think.
Well, you're going to be wrong some of the time, and that's the only things that people remember about you. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But he had some very interesting thoughts, and we'll see how they come to pass. And overall, his thoughts sort of were that the economy is not necessarily going to surge ahead. In fact, it's going to be rather sluggish for most of this year, but it will actually, you know, move ahead next year. He thinks that the great inertia built into the government system is going to stop Trump from really doing much.
I think he had a very sober view. I think it was a realistic view, and it was a sobering view on what's going to happen for the next year or two, especially the impact of the government, as you said, on everything. And he probably cooled down some of the excitement. But again, I think it was useful for people to hear that. And there are people of all political stripes at these meetings, and he never knows who he's talking to. So I think he did a good job from that point. But in terms of sobriety, that was kind of well needed, because this event took place during the St. Patrick's Day holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
As if any further inspiration was needed for minor league debauchery, you know, we had that going for us.
No, it was good. And there were lots of people that we know and are our friends and members and sponsors and all sorts of things were there. And it was good to meet up with a lot of people in a very sort of a casual, it wasn't always casual, relaxed atmosphere. It was a good place for it, actually. I mean, you had everything in one place. So I actually liked it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they do a good job of blending PacWest and NFDA. I think they have very different cultures, but you don't really get the feeling that there's kind of a tug of war going. It all blends very nicely. So congratulations to everybody involved in putting this thing together, because it did flow very nicely. And
right.
And I will say that in terms of some of the people who attended, it was great to see a lot of real heavyweights and a lot of people who were newer to the industry that came to learn, and I think they achieved a lot networking-wise. Since it was St. Patrick's Day, I actually reached out to the British and Irish Association of Fastener Distributors, Bri. I let them know that we were having this event, and if they had any well wishes for us, and I was going to announce them, which I did, during the final closing dinner, where I was participating as kind of a game show host for the moment, and got a reply back from Phil Madden out there. And thank you, Phil. I know he occasionally listens to the podcast, but it was kind of cool because our Irish brethren were aware that we were meeting and reveling in St. Paddy's Day glory. And I tell you, folks, if you go online, I think it was the PacWest, I think Vicky Lester and her team put a ton of pictures out there, and they had a St. Patrick's Day, like a photo booth thing where you could put on green paraphernalia garb, you know, and basically make a fool out of yourself. But if nothing else, it tells to the kind of the laid-back atmosphere, because I tell you, some of the people really looked like they were having a lot of fun, and get out there to the Facebook page of PacWest and have a look. Some of those photos are really fun.
Yeah, right, right. And the dinner was interesting from a couple of aspects. Good food and the compere. Oh, that was you, that's right. And and we had a lunch that was also was hosted by the NFDA. It was also more really hosted by Worth. And it was a televised address by Dr. Worth. And it was a very interesting talk, sort of about his, I guess, history of building the Worth group of companies from the age when he was 21 and had to suddenly take the company over, and how he built it up, and what his sort of views on business are. And it was a very interesting talk. And I felt it was sort of a rather strangely heartfelt talk. You know, I lived in Germany and worked in Germany for 6 years, and I came to the view that German managers are, in general, rather aloof, but certainly would never, ever let themselves appear as an ordinary person in case they lose all their respect of their employees. But Dr. Worth was surprisingly open. I was very impressed with that, actually.
I think a lot of people felt that way, too. I'll tell you, while he was speaking, the whole room, you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody was just zeroed in. And his main message was that the most important aspect of a business is the company culture. And it's obvious that over there at Worth, they work very hard to do that. I mean, they've put a lot of money into their buildings and to developing the culture, and also the way that the culture is specific to the various countries where they operate. That's a big part of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was very good. And so we should thank very good friends at Worth for putting that on. It was a really interesting lunch, actually.
Yeah. Well, it was just one of a huge number of reasons that we decided to go out there, but that was definitely one of the highlights.
And sort of at the end, it wasn't really the end of it, but this is an NFDA thing, which is a sort of a round table thing where you join up in groups, and they have the executives and the owners. And so I decided I was going to be an executive and you'd be the owner, okay? And so I was at a table, and we all were given a set of topics to discuss, all quite carefully, you know, worked out. And they were each one quite interesting. Not all of them were totally relevant to someone like me, who sits very much on the edge of the industry. But they were still brought up interesting points. Out of that came two things, which I think need to be, you know, we have to work on. One was the impact of the FDI, the Fastener Distributor Index. Clearly, it is almost unknown when you get out into the wider branches of the NFDA and some parts of the PacWest, I guess, as well.
Same reaction from my meeting. I mean, I was shocked when they brought the FDI up as a topic, and a lot of people in the room didn't understand it, or if they were aware of it, even they... I was shocked. We got work to do.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a sure sign that our strength is not in marketing. Okay, but we sort of knew that anyway. But this was really a rather, you know, a whack over the head, and to be in a room where only like 3 people had ever heard of the FDI before out of like 80 people. Oh.
Well, it was a lot higher in the owner's room, I got to tell you that, but. But still, I get your point. And so we just have to work on it. And I think the folks at NFDA, who are our partners on this, they have work to do too. Anyway, good point. And that's just one of the great things that happens at these conferences, though. I mean, you get a chance to compare notes. And there were a lot of other topics as well. I tell you, I think we shared another thing in both rooms, and that was when the subject of 3D printing and additive manufacturing came up. I mean, that was like a major zero. At this point, how long have we been talking about these topics? And people are thinking, oh, well, it's a fad, or, you know, it's not going to impact us. Au contraire.
Yeah, right. And you're correct. At the table I was at, there was no knowledge that you could print anything out of metal. Out of a material, okay?
God.
And now, I have seen a thing printing titanium, okay? So I know you can do this. And just this last week, Boeing let a contract with a Scandinavian company to build, with the approval of the FAA, start manufacturing structural supports out of titanium for the Dreamliner. And the contract is lasting for 1 year of working with the FAA so they can certify all of the struts and things that they're going to start printing. And then from that moment onwards, the FAA will not need to certify any of more of these titanium. They're all structural supports for the wings and things like that. And Boeing says that within something like 2 years, they expect to have thousands of structural components of the Dreamliner built by additive manufacturing, 3D printing. So there's another area that we have a little bit of work to do in terms of this industry. And I understand a structural support is not quite a fastener. However, the people who are building these structural supports are probably going to be building the fasteners that hold them together as well, if the FAA has to certify all of it.
Well, we're working in like the equivalent of the dot matrix era of printing, you know, in terms of where 3D printing is, where conventional printing was years ago. And the fact is that based on the reactions we witnessed at these meetings, this is just not on the fastener industry's radar. So we have more work to do, and that's what we'll do. But
yeah,
it's that really shocked me. Here's something you won't be shocked at, though. Ran into Steve Dunham from Sasco during one of the conference dinners. And, you know, his wife, who I really like, yeah, she still hates the podcast, Bri. Cheryl just, she hates Fully Threaded.
It's very, very dull, okay? Yeah, I had a couple of drinks with Steve before the main dinner, and Cheryl actually both. We discussed their trips overseas.
I also ran into Bob Porteous at the reception, Bri. That was cool.
Oh, yeah, I had heard he was there. I did not actually see him.
Well, as usual, he was thronged with well-wishers and admirers.
Okay, I guess I should have looked for that group. Okay, it wasn't.
I talked to him for a little while. It was very nice to see him again. Of course, he and his brother, Barry Porteous, are, I think, lifetime honorary members of the PAC West, so they pop in from time to time. He lives in the area, so he's got some other things going these days outside of the fastener industry. It was good to catch up with him, but goes to show, it's one of the other great reasons to show up at these events. You never know who you'll run into.
Yeah.
Of course, Tracy Lumia from Link Magazine was wandering around, and she has her camera with her, as always. You know, she's got a great gig, really. You know, it's like every group she goes to, they're all like, Tracy, you know, she knows everybody, man.
I know. Well, she does. She spends her time wandering around taking pictures, and the pictures are usually pretty good. Otherwise, people wouldn't be so friendly. But she takes good pictures, and people like to see them later on.
And then she puts them in a magazine, man.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Show me love, baby. Show me love.
Right. Okay. So this was the love fest part of the do. Okay. It was good.
Hopefully, while I was taking care of this whole emceeing thing at the St. Patrick's Day bash, there are no photos of you in any compromising positions, Bri. I'm kind of taking that on faith.
Oh, I wouldn't think so, okay? I would have been far too careful for that. I mean, I haven't reached my great age without a little bit of intelligence.
Well, I think there was a lot of, let's just say there was a lot of fun being had at that bash. And, you know, not since Todd McRoberts did his legendary air guitar work at the Bourbon Room several years ago out in Vegas, did somebody top him. But I think Mike Lentini with Spiral, he might have surpassed that at the St. Patrick's Day Irish Jig Contest.
Oh, he did a very good job, and he put on a great show. It was very much appreciated by the crowd, actually.
Of course, we'll be talking with Christy Jones in a few moments about Spiral's new offering, but Mike, he got the ball rolling on this thing, and I'll tell you what, in a big way, he made it happen with that performance up there on stage. Good, congratulations.
Yep, yeah, it was fun.
Kelly Cole was no slouch either, but coming in second, you got to admit it was definitely Baron Yarborough. He's with Spring bolt and nut manufacturing down there in Texas. He's also a YFP-er, and I tell you, the guy looks like kind of a giant natural leprechaun, to be honest. So,
yeah, we ran into Baron a few times, actually.
Yeah, he's a very good sport, interesting guy, and it just goes to show the level of competition that was up there, because Lentini definitely took it based on audience reaction, but it was close.
Right, it was.
I think Andy Cohn, who's also a participant during the jig contest, you know, I think his issue was he's just been involved in too many of these Irish, you know, Pac West celebrations, and he kind of took it all in stride. I mean, he did a good job, but it wasn't even close. Sorry, Andy.
Well, he's paid his dues a long time ago. Okay, he's been through many of these things, and got dragged up on stage numerous times, I would imagine.
Oh, you got that right. It was really cool, though. Now, we're kind of scattering this whole thing, not doing it in very chronological, but the tabletop was outstanding. We heard those cuts at the top of the show with some of the folks and their reactions to that. And again, congratulations to Kevin Chavez, president of PacWest, and Mark Strandquist, president of NFDA, for pulling this off. It melded together really well. Tabletop was good. Hopefully, if you were out there, folks, you got some FCH Sourcing Network dog biscuits, or should I say Fastener dog biscuits, which we were handing out.
Right, and had made specially. And at one stage, I was talking to some people who were probably waiting for lunch. Maybe it had been a rather long morning already for them. And they were looking at these things, reading the ingredients to see if you could actually eat them. So when I had actually read the ingredients, there was nothing to indicate you couldn't actually eat them. But I don't encourage people to do that, okay? They just look pretty good, and they smell good, too.
Well, they had a really cool taco bar right there on the show floor, so if they were looking at the FCH dog biscuits to snarf them down, I mean, you know, what could I say? But your dogs will love them, folks, and if you didn't pick up an FCH dog biscuit, don't worry. We got a stash of them reserved for Fastener Tech, and then we'll have another pile of them out there in Vegas. So make sure your Fastener dog gets an FCH biscuit when we see you next. Just another reason to stop by our booth, folks.
Yeah, it is. And you didn't need another one.
That's right, because we're the guys who bring you the FCH Sourcing Network. The biscuits are only one reason to be friends with us. The other one is we've got a huge online database of fastener inventory. Please get out there anytime the need comes up. If you need to find a hard-to-find fastener part or a fill-in, or you're looking for a new vendor, that sort of thing, it's fastenersclearinghouse.com. And we'd be glad to talk to you if you're looking to sell fasteners as well. We've got a couple of different great programs to help you out. It's all explained on the website, or you can just contact us through the website. It's the FCH Sourcing Network, fastenersclearinghouse.com. Bri, you're making some big changes to this. We're always talking about big changes, but this one is going to become visibly obvious, isn't it? In other words, we're widening out all our screens on our website.
Right, and we've started with the members area, to the dismay of a couple of members who suddenly thought they're in the wrong place when the screens didn't look quite the same. Basically, we've introduced a new search, and it's been a year under development, and it's sort of pretty good. It uses a totally different technology. Not that you would care. All you want to know is that it actually gets good results. And in doing that, we've added a lot more options so that you can search by, if you search for screws, you can select the type of head or the drive or the point, or as well as the usual materials and things. So it gives you a different ways of really limiting your search results to only the ones you want.
It's the FCH Sourcing Network, www.fastenersclearinghouse.com. Big stuff always happening. Well, Bri, the Long Beach PacWest NFDA event was quite filled with all kinds of things. We're going to be talking about that some more in the podcast later during our feature. But before we put a capstone on it right now, one of the other cool things that happened was during the welcoming reception, I had a pretty interesting chat with our buddy Mike Lentini over there from Spiral. We were sitting there, and he was telling me about a new product that they're offering over there called Armor Galv.
OK. Okay. Of course, I didn't have that benefit. I was too busy manning booths and things like that. You're the one that wanders around the floor all the time.
Well, this is a finishing process, and you know, generally I don't get all that jazzed up about that unless it has something specifically to do with hydrogen embrittlement.
Yeah, I knew that would be the whole thing that would have suddenly caught your attention.
That's right. And in this case, one of the other cool things, Tom Mazur from American Fastener Journal came up during our conversation, and as it turns out in the January-February issue of that magazine, there's a story about this, a white paper actually, that's on page 50. You can check that out. But we figured to dig into this a little bit more. We'd invite somebody over there at Spiral to give us some of the lowdown, because it does sound like an exciting thing. Brian, I know you're a pretty technical guy when it comes to processes like this, and so we invited Christy Jones from Spiral International Corporation. She joins us now. Hey, Christy.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Never better.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
How come we didn't see you out there in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Well, Mike Lentini, he's quite the personality. So he's short in stature, but very big in personality. He can handle it himself.
You got that right. We already discussed the Irish jig contest that went down, and he did a great job over there. Hey, before we talk a little bit about Armor Galve, give us the thumbnail on Spiral.
So Spiral is a global manufacturer of engineered fasteners. And we're started in 1948, and pretty much anything that can be joined together is a potential user of our products. So right now, we produce over 2 billion components a year, and we have about 15,000 customers worldwide.
Okay, that makes you rather large, right?
But one of the biggest things I want to stress about Spiral is, while we're a manufacturer of fasteners, where we really offer value to our customers is through application engineering support. So rather than just supplying product, we want to help make sure that customers are selecting the right fasteners so that their assemblies go together and stay together for the intended life of the assembly.
Okay. Most of us driving over bridges or doing whatever are happy that that's what you're trying to do.
Yes, you're welcome.
or flying in airplanes or lots of things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Enter Armor Galve. Give us the general rundown. Mike schooled me on this a little bit. I know you can do probably a better job, and why don't you do that and let our listeners know what's this all about?
All right. So Armor Galve is a thermal diffused zinc. It's actually been around a long time. Historically, it's been known as a term called sheridizing. But over the years, there's been a lot of improvements made to the sheridizing process. And so where you have seen Armor Galve but probably don't recognize what it is, you see them every day. You see Armor Galve on street lamps. They're used on boat anchors, very large products that require a lot of corrosion protection because they're exposed to the elements. Spiral is the first company to bring Armor Galve to the fastener industry, and we are super jazzed up about it because we really believe that this is a revolutionary product for the industry.
So then, given all the other types of coatings, tell us why this is revolutionary. What's so amazing about this thermal diffusion process? What's so great about it?
So first and foremost, corrosion protection. Armor Galve offers over 1,000 hours of protection to red rust.
That's good.
You know, to Eric's favorite topic of hydrogen embrittlement, there's zero risk of hydrogen embrittlement. So whereas there are some other coatings out there that will provide 1,000 hours or close to 1,000 hours, those coatings, either you run the risk of having hydrogen embrittlement, or when the product is pressed into a hole or somehow it's scraped, the coating can actually scrape off of the product. This is hard and highly abrasion resistant. So you don't have to worry about the coating coming off of it. There's no plating, no flaking, peeling, or blistering. Furthermore, this process in coating the fasteners, it actually turns the zinc into a vapor. So anywhere the vapor can get to, the product is coated. So where I'm going with this is that there's zero insignificant surfaces. zero insignificant surfaces. So if you have a long tubular part and the vapor can get into the ID of that part, you're coated inside and out. That is unheard of in the fastener industry.
We were talking before we turned the recorder on, Christy, and you brought the term significant surfaces in. Just for folks who aren't real conversant in the treating, the plating world, please define that further for us.
So in various salt spray procedures, there's a salt spray procedure for ASTM. It's ASTM B117. There is a specific description of what a significant surface is. And I don't have that spec in front of me right now, but I believe it is defined as a significant surface is anywhere a 1/8 diameter ball bearing touches around the entire surface would be considered a significant surface. So if you took, for example, the underside of a headed fastener, well, where the head and the body diameter of the fastener come together in that little their radius there, that would be considered insignificant, because if you were to put a ball bearing in that area, it wouldn't touch where the head and the body of the fastener came together, just as an example of significant surface. So again, with the Armor-Galve coating, there are no insignificant surfaces. The entire fastener is coated.
So then another question, if this is such a great process, and you can stick it on an anchor and it can protect the anchor from rusting away, it's clearly pretty good. Why has it taken so long to get to an industry that, spends a lot of time worrying about these two things, hydrogen embrittlement and the salt spray protection? Why has it taken so long to get this industry?
That is a great question, Brian. And I don't know. I mean, I know that, like I said earlier, there have been some improvements in the process itself. But, in order for Spiral to offer Armor-Galve, we had to make a significant investment in equipment. And as such, that in itself, the company has to be strong enough to be able to make the investment in that equipment. And fortunately, Spiral is in that position to do so. So we're very proud and excited about this new introduction.
Well, interestingly for me, I mean, I'm sort of used to people saying, well, you won't have any of these on your site. So I did a search actually on, through 1.5 million different line items on our site. I found one single fastener that had Armor-Galve protection. That's pretty rare in 1.5 million different line items, okay?
Sounds like the market's wide open for you there, Christy.
Yeah, we're hoping so. Well, I'll say one other thing, in addition to the equipment, there's a lot of development that goes into the process itself and coming up with the recipe, if you will, on how to apply Armor-Galve to the various types of fasteners. So it's not just a matter of buying equipment and turning it on and just start Armor-Galving parts. There's a significant development process that has to take place as well. So we're there. We're ready to go.
Good. Okay. So you introducing this to the industry, because it seems just, I mean, I'm not that knowledgeable in this, but from what I've read and looked at, and it seems pretty slick to me.
We're speaking with Christy Jones of Spiral International Corporation. She's spearheading introducing this to the fastener industry. And if you're looking for more information on the subject of Armor-Galve, get out to the Spiral website. There's a white paper available out there. That's what we've been referencing during the conversation here. Full of information. They'll be updating that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Now, Christy, I understand that as you're introducing this product, it's on a given commodity category group. And can you explain that? And what are the plans for expanding the commodities, the categories, and so forth that you'll be able to use this application on?
Correct. Yeah. So we're initially launching this on our tubular roll-formed products. So that includes our roll-formed spacers, compression limiters, dowels, and bushings. And the reason why we have this sort of sequence introduction for the products is, as I mentioned earlier, there is a significant development process where each type of product requires a separate recipe. We're starting with the tubular product line because when we talk about significant surfaces, hollow parts are known for rusting from the inside out because you can't get coating into the inner diameter of a hollow part. Yeah. Fortunately, again, with ArmorGalve, you have complete coverage. So we're starting with the tubular line because that's where we see the greatest benefit. But then we will be proliferating that out to the other product lines. Next will probably be our coiled spring pins and then our slotted spring pins. I don't have a timeline for that yet, but I would imagine in this calendar year we will be seeing it getting rolled out for those other product lines. So definitely heading into 2018, you'll be seeing the coiled pins and slotted pins with ArmorGalve.
Oh, okay.
Got it. So I guess, in other words, what you're telling us is there's a significant advantage, especially on those hollowed parts right now.
Absolutely, yes. And that's, again, where we see a lot of the requests for the super high corrosion resistance, because these parts are used in the undercarriages of cars, for example, where it's just constantly exposed to the elements. So we tried to take it by product line based on market need, and to us that seemed like the most logical place to start.
Yeah, especially in Chicago, there's a lot of need for salt spray protection, okay?
Yes, even in April.
Yeah.
Christy Jones, Spiral International Corporation, thanks for filling us in a little bit more on ArmorGalve. Hope we see you out there this October in Vegas to give us a little bit more information. I'm sure you'll have some developments then, and we sure do appreciate you joining us on Fully Threaded.
Thank you so much. You didn't see me in Long Beach. You absolutely will see me in Vegas, and okay. We will have some updates by then on our ArmorGalve offering as well. So thank you so much for having me on as well. We really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out to the industry.
You bet. Once again, folks, that white paper is available at spiral.com. And we'll be back with more Fully Threaded Radio right after this.
Talk radio for the fastener industry. It's not really all that bad for the most part. Brian and Eric, Fully Threaded Radio.
Since 1905, Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been supplying the world with high-quality fasteners. Our standard product lines include weld fasteners, graded weld screws, leg levelers, self-clinching hardware, clevis pins, rivet nuts, and various other fastener lines, allowing us to support virtually all types of industries. We have complete custom manufacturing capabilities in low carbon, medium carbon, and stainless steel materials, and our quality systems are registered to ISO standards. Our on-staff engineering department can assist you with product development and provide total technical support. Our knowledgeable sales team members offer superior customer service and are here to answer any questions you may have regarding our products. Having a hard time finding a part? Let our sourcing specialist do the work for you to locate those items. We offer competitive pricing with typically smaller minimums and shorter lead times. To find out more about Buckeye Fasteners, please call us at 800-437-1689 or on the web at buckeyefasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, more than just weld.
Did you know Mexico accounts for 34% of all trade in Latin America? Hi, everybody. It's Lynn Dempsey, here to announce the meeting point for the Latin American fastener industry. It's Mack Brooks Fastener Fair Mexico, which takes place on June 20th and 21st, 2017, in Mexico City. Fastener Fair Mexico attracts manufacturers, distributors, suppliers, and end users from across Latin America's fastest-growing industries. With over 2,000 buyers, more than 200 exhibiting companies from around the world, and a highly informative distributor business development conference, this third edition of the show is set to be the biggest yet. As the leader in worldwide fastener exhibitions, Mack Brooks has pulled out all the stops to provide maximum value for any fastener distributor operating or considering doing business in Latin America. Don't miss Fastener Fair Mexico, June 20th and 21st in Mexico City. For booth space, details, and to register online, log on to www.fastenerfair.com/Mexico. That's fastenerfair.com/Mexico.
Are you tired of empty promises from software vendors? Are you paying for support that you're not receiving? Is it time for another paid upgrade? There is a solution. InSequel delivers quality software designed for the fastener industry at an affordable price with industry-leading support. Unlike other software companies, with InSequel, you purchase your software once. There will never be a paid upgrade. If you need assistance with anything, InSequel is there to help. When you call, you will always speak with a real person offering you quick and knowledgeable answers to your questions. Can your current provider say this? Quality software, affordable pricing, industry-leading support. Only InSequel can deliver all three. So, why settle? Call InSequel Software at 877-446-9775 or visit www.inxsql.com.
Hi, this is Casey McElhon from McElhon & Associates, exhibiting at the 31st Annual Midwest Fastener Show, and I absolutely listen to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you, Fully Threaded
Radio.
That's us. Well, it's the news section of the program, and as Fully Threaded listeners know, it's being sponsored, as usual, by Volt Industrial Plastics and longtime sponsors and friends of the podcast, Fastenal. There was a huge headline out there recently, a couple weeks back, this is now, had to do with Fastenal, and they have made yet another acquisition that raised some eyebrows. This time, they acquired Michigan-based distributor Mansco, or Manufacturers Supply Company. You hear about this one, Bri?
I did, actually, and you know, we've dealt with them for sort of many years, actually, in different forms.
That's true. A lot of people remember Mansco. They had a wholly owned subsidiary, I believe it was, which was Manufacturers Fastener World, and they and FCH overlapped quite a bit at one time. That's a different story. Here to discuss the acquisition that Fastenal just did of Mansco, we've got somebody from the acquisition, the M&A team over there at Fastenal. He's Jeff Kammerer. Jeff, hey, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, no problem. Nice to be with you guys today.
Pleasure's ours, mate.
Absolutely. Haven't talked to you in a little while, and congratulations. I was reading here on globalfastenernews.com about this story. It looks like in 2016, Mansco did, like $50 million in revenue or so. So this is a pretty big deal for you guys. Can you tell us, aside from the obvious, what does Fastenal see in Mansco? What's in store for this company now under Fastenal?
What we saw in Fastenal was a really well-run company. We liked everything about it, the leadership team that's in place. They bring a very respected sales force to the table. So it was a business that we looked at and said, you know what? It's very well run. Let's partner with them. They bring some opportunities to Fastenal. They bring some very nice customers. They bring a strength in the commercial furniture industry. And we think that Fastenal brings to them the opportunity to strengthen the relationships with their customers to a global level. We were able to now service some of their customers in locations that typically Mansco wouldn't have been able to reach.
God, it makes sense. You know, a lot of people that I spoke with when this headline came out, they were kind of scratching their heads saying, how does this fit into Fastenal's wider strategy? We were talking a little bit before we turned the recorder on that, and why don't you help people understand that a little bit better?
Well, I mean, it fits perfectly with our strategy in that, you know, most people will look at a Fastenal location and they'll see the retail presence and think that Fastenal is a retail player in the market, and that's the majority of our business. What they fail to realize is that a good portion of our business is actually delivered business. We're going into the manufacturing facility and servicing the customer within their facility. We have a number of on-site locations where we're actually embedded within the customer facility. So the fact that we went and bought a OEM fastener company is really falling in line with the majority of the business that we do today.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You're right. That's not the general perception of Fastenal. People see the little Fastenal trucks driving around in the Fastenal stores. So, okay, good.
Pieces of the puzzle. Well, thanks for explaining that, Jeff, and I think we'll all be watching to see what happens and how things change over at Mansco. I know a lot of people, like I said, we talk to, operate with them, and they have for some time. So a lot of people, I know you don't have a lot of answers about some of the specifics yet, but we'll be watching.
And I would say that I wouldn't expect a lot of change for Mansco. As I mentioned, their business was well run. We're just hoping to bring some MRO solutions to their customers that they didn't do before, and being able to expand the global footprint of Mansco, but not making fundamental changes to how the business is run.
Got it. I know a lot of people will be interested to hear that. We work with lots of people who work with Mansco.
Yeah.
I know we caught you on the road, Jeff, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes to explain some of this. I wanted to ask you one thing, though, on a unrelated subject just before we do let you go, and that is with regard to the Fastener Distributor Index. We have the full report coming up in just a moment, but I know you know the number shot up in March to 60.0. Fastenal is not a participant of the FDI because you're a publicly traded company, but did you see parity from your perspective last month? I mean, are you experiencing a surge like the rest of the industry seems to be?
I think the mood is very optimistic. Our earnings release will come out on the 12th, so I don't know exactly what's in it yet, but I would expect that, you know, like I said, the mood was optimistic.
Yeah, we'll wait till tomorrow too, okay?
That sounds good.
That's what we do here. Jeff Kammerer, you're on the M&A team over there at Fastenal. You've knocked another one off, and we'll watch what happens. We sure do appreciate you spending a few moments with us.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There he goes, Jeff Kammerer. Thank you again, everyone, for clicking in today. We'd love to hear your comments on the podcast. Get with us anytime. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com. We're out there on Twitter. The handle is fullythreaded.
Eric deals with Twitter. I lurk around Twitter, okay?
Do you lurk?
I'm a lurker on Twitter.
With no fear of being unmasked in that case.
Oh, yeah, very much.
We keep throwing around the term unmasked, and I'm still not sure what it is. I will get to that later. I don't want to get diverted.
Okay.
Speaking of that, though, were you surprised when you first heard about the Fastenal acquisition of Mansco because mainly of the manufacturer fastener world connection? I mean, in the early days of FCH, we went up against them all the time. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like poetic in some way, don't you think?
It was. It was sort of strange. Yeah, it was, you know, 10 years ago, there was not that many companies around, and MFW was one of them that were dealing with the, you know, the internet particularly.
Yeah. I used to call them like every 6 months, and God, they hated me. But but I kept trying, you know, and eventually they even listed with us. I mean, they had a lot of inventory on FCH for a while there, and I don't know the whole backstory. We always had a great time talking with them over there, but ultimately, for whatever the reason was, they shut her down and rolled that all up into Mansco, which is now, I guess, owned by Fastenal, or soon will be.
Yep. Yeah, we've had a very long connection to them.
Yeah, that was big news. Well, speaking of big news, we have big news headlines coming up on the Fastener News Report, and that, of course, is with Mike McNulty.
Right. With his non-predominantly fastener-related commentary.
That's right. He's got a zinger this time, everybody. You're not going to want to miss it, but it will be predominantly fastener-related, including, sorry about stealing his thunder a little bit. We always try not to do that in terms of the FDI, but he's got a great analysis with Kevin Miller, so we'll bring that right on as we introduce him with our usual intro.
And now here's news about screws you can use.
It's Mike McNulty.
Thanks, guys. This is Mike McNulty from Fastener Technology International Magazine, bringing you the Fastener News Report, which is sponsored today by Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners. 2017 may go down in history as the year of when overreacting to minor news stories without any facts and experiencing moral outrage without any sense of morality, may have replaced baseball as the nation's pastime. But I am happy that today is opening day in Cleveland, and that I am still focused on fasteners and ready to deliver today's Fastener News Report. In this episode, we're going to reveal the latest results of the Fastener Distributor Index, also known as the FDI. Also in today's broadcast, we have our top story on Fastener Fair Stuttgart and newsmaker headlines from Fastener Distribution Holdings, The Worth Group, Buckeye Fasteners, Bay Fastening, Sherrick Fastening, Fabry, Advanced Components, Penn Engineering, Triangle Fastener, Norma Group, and the Las Vegas Fastener Show. On the back page report, we're going to talk about taxpayer funding of Ivy League colleges. We will get to all of that and the latest FDI results right after this.
Volt Industrial Plastics is the source for all your high-quality plastic fastener needs, and customer service is their number one priority. With almost 1 million fasteners in stock and same-day shipping on stock items, Volt Industrial Plastics carries inventory so you don't have to. Volt manufactures everything in-house from over 125 different materials, and they're proud to say 100% of their products are American-made. And of course, custom tooling and in-house bagging is available. Contact Volt online at www.voltplastics.com. Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners.
For a selection of hundreds of thousands of fasteners, check out your local Fastenal store or Fastenal.com. We can stock domestic or internationally sourced product locally and keep your bin stock filled for you at no additional expense. We are a 9001:2008 certified company that's made a huge investment in quality control so you don't have to. And if you can't find it on our shelf, we can make it for you at the quantity you need at one of our many manufacturing facilities. Learn more by contacting your local Fastenal store or visiting Fastenal.com today.
I need 5,000 3/4, 10 by 9 and 3/4 grade 8 zinc yellow tap bolts right away, but they're not a standard size.
Solution Man Ken. I carry a wide variety of sizes and I can quickly cut them to any length. See Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Using your bare hands?
I do use a saw on smaller parts, actually.
Mike McNulty.
In March, the FDI broke into uncharted territory with a result of 60.0, a new record and solid increase over February's reading of 57.0. Fastener Distributor Index data is collected and analyzed by the FCH Sourcing Network, the National Fastener Distributors Association, and Baird. The FDI seeks to identify demand, pricing, and outlook trends within the American fastener distribution industry. To get some insight on this positive result, Kevin Miller, president of BAML Fastener Corporation in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the incoming president of the NFDA, joined us. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me again.
So what do you think about the FDI hitting the 60.0 mark?
I think it's really fantastic. It's certainly good to see this kind of a trend, you know, after especially the last half of last year. I know we certainly had a strong month, and talking with a lot of our suppliers and friendly competitors, they had a strong month too. So, you know, I think it's certainly reflective of current market conditions, and hopefully the trend continues.
Yeah, 2017 has been pretty bullish so far for the Fastener Distributor Index, and like you said, hopefully it continues. The one thing that kind of contradicted this result was the forward-looking indicator actually took a drop to 57.4, which was 61.0 in February. Any take on that?
I think people are still worried about what's going on with the current presidential administration and the effects that's going to have on the economy. You know, you start talking about NAFTA and all that. So I think the current measure of 60 versus the forward-looking indicators shows that, you know, things are doing well, but people are still concerned about what the future holds. You know, and I know looking at automotive and especially in the heavy truck industry, which has been pretty soft recently, we've recently started seeing some notices of demand increases there. So hopefully that's got some, hopefully that says some positive things about what's to come for the rest of the year. But I still think people are just, you know, they're still a little shaky as to what's going on.
Right. Now, I should note that when I said that, you know, the forward-looking indicator dropped to 57.4, it's still in the growth territory. Any indicator that's above 50 means that the industry is growing. So it's still growing, just the expectations are maybe it's not going to grow as high as they thought last month. They're tempering expectations a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that that's the case. And, you know, I mean, certainly from a sales standpoint, I think things will be strong. I think the continued increase in raw material commodities might put a little pressure on margins and profit levels. But, you know, overall, I think the comfort level with the manufacturing environment in the United States is relatively high to what it has been in recent years.
Right. Yeah, the sales number was huge, and the other things, employment, deliveries, inventory, all growing, and pricing getting higher, and customer inventories declining. So those kind of go hand in hand. As demand increases, then inventories drop and prices go up, and hopefully people make more money and all that stuff. So also the FDI, we looked at the expectations 6 months down the road, and this time it was 93% of respondents expect conditions to be the same or better, which is a slight drop from February. 97% were expecting to be same. I mean, anything, you know, 90 is a pretty good number, but that's a little get tempered from last month too.
Yeah, but that's still pretty high. So, you know, I'm not going to worry about that small of a difference from month to month. You know, certainly you start seeing that drop more over the next 4 or 5 months. I would say we've got something to worry about, but that's still pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and if you recall, you know, last year that, you know, it seemed like the FDA was going up and down, kind of like a seesaw effect. Now we're getting to see that it's kind of going on the growth side, staying on the growth side. So that's a good sign, I think. Now, also, we got some interesting survey participant comments, and I would say they were a mixed bag, and not all of them mirrored the record result of 60.0, and I've got a few examples here. The first one was somebody said, I believe we will see some improvement compared to 16 overall, but the activity will remain choppy. And the second says, we are anticipating slower sales going forward due to outsourcing activities going on at our top two accounts. And then this is the one that got my attention. Somebody said March was their worst month in 5 years.
Wow, that's that is a mixed bag of sentiment right there.
So those were the ones that like jumped out on the negative side. But then we had a comment, someone saying continue to get steel price increases from overseas and domestically, which coincides with increased demand, I think. And then next one was somebody said March was an incredibly good month. Our sales were up 22% year on year. February is also up. And it's the highest sales of any month in 2016. And they say, enjoy the ride while it lasts. And then the final comment was maybe the most positive. It says, our inquiries for 2017 are up 32%. Sales are up 15%. Well, some sectors are flat. Some, like construction and export opportunities, are opening up big time. So kind of mixed, but I think you're always going to get that.
Yeah, I think you're always going to get that too. But I think, you know, just the overall tone of it is generally positive. You know, of course, you're going to have some people here and there who are, you know, maybe struggling a little more than others are currently. But, you know, 6 months from now, that could reverse itself. So, you know, I think you just got to kind of try to read the tea leaves, and they're saying, you know, things are good. We're hoping they stay good. We expect them to, but you know, we wouldn't be surprised if this is a blip and things soften. So we just, I think as an industry, we just got to keep plugging along and doing the best we can. And that's all we can do.
Yeah. Now, the one, and that if I was the person who had the worst month in 5 years, I'd be checking either what sector that I'm serving or how I'm doing it. So.
right. Maybe a little diversity might help that person. But
misery loves company. But when you get 60.0 on the FDA, you don't have a lot of company.
Right.
Oh. Good. Well, yeah, things are looking good, and hope that it continues. I would expect that it's going to continue unless there's some drastic change outside of the industry.
Yep.
So now we mentioned earlier that you're the incoming president of the NFDA. So as we, you know, close up this segment, what can you tell the listeners that's going on at the NFDA this year?
Well, we had a great joint session out in L.A. with the PAC West. Big attendance there. We gave out a nice award to Robbie Gilchrist for Fastener Professional of the Year. It's a new award we've started to do.
Nice.
Just to, you know, kind of honor individuals or companies that have made a substantial, you know, positive impact on the fastener industry as a whole throughout their careers. We had a lot of great names on the list. It just, you know, his was the one that rose to the top the fastest. And there will be no shortage of candidates for that for next year too. So we're looking forward to it. You know, I really got two things I'd like to mention. One is the joint meeting in Boston with the NEFDA. It's mid-June. If you're not registered for that, I'd highly encourage you to register for it. That's shaping up to be pretty good too. And then the other big one is in 2018, the 50th anniversary trip to Costa Rica, where, you know, we figured 50 years, we should do something special, honor past presidents, past executives, and have a great time. So we're going to go down there and for a few days and celebrate the NFDA and all it's been and all it has become.
So that's going to be in next year then, right?
For that. That's correct.
Did you guys pick a date for that yet?
We have. I don't know off the top of my head. It's going to be sometime in the first part of the year, I believe in March, if I'm not mistaken. But we're actually meeting and talking about, you know, starting to push out advertising for that. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, that sounds good. And, the Robbie Gilchrist, that sounds like a good selection on that award. I know they've done a lot of work with the scholarships and the fastener industry, too, so that's good to hear.
And
other than that, you guys are keeping busy.
Yeah. I mean, the organization's growing. Membership, I think, is up slightly, and we're expecting that trend to continue. And, you know, hopefully the more members we get, the more value we can provide to our members. So if you're listening and your company's not currently a member, we highly encourage you to try it out for a year and see what you get out of it. I know we get a lot. And you can go to the NFDA website, nfda-fastener.org, and look at the member benefits and the profit reports and the compensation reports. I know, you know, we use a lot and we get a lot of value just out of those two things. So,
yeah, the association does a lot of good work, and I'm encouraged to see these joint things that you're doing. You did the PAC West and now going out east in Boston. I think that's a great thing to do, reaching out with other groups. And also, thanks for your involvement with the FDI.
No problem. Thank you guys for pinging me every once in a while on this. I really enjoy being on your show.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Talk to you soon.
That was Kevin Miller of BAML Fastener and the NFDA. The FDI number for March was 60.0. Visit www.fdisurvey.com to participate in the process and get a complete report each month on the FDI results. Now for today's top story. Fastener Fair Stuttgart 2017 is being reported as a major success. Nearly 12,000 visitors from 91 countries traveled to Stuttgart, Germany to discover the latest trends and products from all areas of fastener and fixing technology. This was a 6% increase in visitors versus the last staging of the fair in 2015. The exhibition included 895 exhibitors from 46 countries in a net exhibition space of over 223,000 square feet, an increase of 11% compared to 2015. Germany was the biggest visitor country, followed by Italy and Great Britain. Other major European visitor countries were France, Poland, the Netherlands, and Spain. Asian visitors mainly came from Taiwan and China. The main industries which visitors came from were construction, automotive, appliance, retail hardware, and electrical. This year, the fair included a seminar program for the first time, and it was a success. The biennial Stuttgart show is organized by Mack Brooks in the UK, which also has fastener fairs scheduled in India and Mexico this year. In 2018, Mack Brooks will produce fastener fairs in Indonesia, Italy, and the USA, just up the road in Cleveland, Ohio, in April of 2018. Next up, today's Fastener Newsmaker headlines. In acquisitions and expansion news, Audex Private Equity has partnered with management to acquire Fastener Distribution Holdings from Housatonic Partners. Sussex Wire has joined forces and acquired Mayrox, a provider of CNC'd machine devices for medical and aerospace applications. The Worth Group has broken ground for a central distribution center in Haiyan, China. Norma Group has signed a purchase agreement to acquire 80% of the shares of Feng Fan Fastener in Shaoxing City, China. Planitech, sister company of Buckeye Fasteners, has invested in new equipment and tooling in order to expand its thread rolling die lines. Bay Fastening Systems and Shirik Fastening Solutions have formed a strategic partnership to expand their mutual product offerings. And Maxin Nuclear has acquired the business assets of Metaltech's Maxin Inc. division. The National Industrial Fastener and Mill Supply Expo in Las Vegas has been recognized on two trade show lists. NIF MSE is one of the top 250 trade shows and one of 50 fastest growing shows. Also, Las Vegas Show Management has named the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino as the official hotel for 2017. The Fastener Tech 17 schedule of exhibits, seminars, and networking outings is now complete. And finally, the list of sponsors for the Fastener Industry Coalition's Fastener Summit this June is continuing to grow, with associations and private firms now on the list. In personnel news, Construction Supply Group has announced the appointment of Tom Leahy to the position of Vice President of Supplier Relationship Development. You can get details on all these stories and more in Fastener Technology International Magazine and its companion publication, the Fastener News Report Newsletter, available in print, PDF, and flipbook editions. Finally, let's turn to the back page and talk about taxpayer funding of Ivy League colleges. Not only are Ivy League colleges hotbeds for the tyrannical and corrupting theories of Marxists and elitists, but they are the recipients of mass quantities of taxpayer funding in the forms of subsidies, tax breaks, and federal and state payments to the tune of $41.6 billion in the first half of this decade. A new report called Ivy League Incorporated has been published by the people at OpenTheBooks.com. In the report, they detail the taxpayer funding of these so-called private, nonprofit, and left-leaning institutions of higher education. For example, the eight Ivies, Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Penn, Princeton, and Yale, received over $25 billion from the federal government in tax grants and student loan subsidies. In addition, they got another $10 billion in tax breaks on their investment earnings from their massive endowment funds. They got nearly $4 billion in property tax breaks, and they received $900 million in state tax payments in the fiscal years of 2010 through 2015. In other words, the Ivy League colleges are receiving $120,000 per year graduate student on campus. Also, these eight nonprofit schools each receive more federal government money annually than 16 of the USA's 50 states. I have been to many of these schools, and they are quite beautiful and impressive, and I am sure that lots of good work can be found at each place. But thankfully, reports like Ivy League Inc. are now available to shed light on the under-the-radar fraud that is being inflicted on regular citizens, most that would never be admitted to an Ivy League school, and most that would never agree with the idiotic ideologies being promoted on campus. In my opinion, this report is just the tip of the iceberg of stealth government nonsense, destruction, and misdirection in all levels of education, healthcare, entertainment, and energy industries, just to name a few. This has been Mike McNulty of Fastener Technology International bringing you the Fastener News Report. Please send your news, pictures, comments, corrections, or complaints to me at McNulty@FastenerTech.com.
Up next is Fastener Professional of the Year, Robbie Gilchrist, on Fully Threaded. When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001-2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast. Service you deserve. People you trust.
First, there was fire. And man said,
fire, good.
Then there was the wheel. And man said,
wheel, good.
With the invention of the wheel came the need for fasteners. And man loudly exclaimed,
Buckeye, good.
Buckeye Fasteners, providing quality products since the dawn of man.
The preceding message was brought to you by Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company, proud fastener show sponsors of Old Rusty Bolt Beer, official beer of the traveling salesman.
Tell them Grog sent you. Ugh.
ND Industries has been solving customers' toughest problems through innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service since 1955. A family-owned business, ND Industries manufactures and applies fastener locking, bonding, sealing, masking, and assembling products. Their pre-application process makes fasteners ready to use at the point of assembly, resulting in reduced labor costs, time savings, and superior quality assurance. As a fully integrated company, ND handles all aspects of operations from formulating custom chemical compounds and coating fasteners to providing inline inspection, packaging, and delivery services. ND Industry serves the global market with 13 divisions in the continental U.S. and also facilities in Taiwan, China, and Turkey. Learn more about ND Industries at our website at www.ndindustries.com. ND Industries. Innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service. Contact ND today.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Fastener Training Minute. This is Carmen Vertullo coming to you from the Carver Fact Center in El Cajon, California, and the Fastener Training Institute. Just recently, I conducted some training for some structural bolting people. The classroom involved some suppliers, some testing folks, inspectors, and some installers. They had some very interesting questions, and we ran into a situation with one of our attendees that I think we can learn something from, having to do with tension control bolts and what the role of the inspector is. Oftentimes on the job site, we run into situations where the inspector wants us to do something or wants to complain about something that really is not a valid issue, and we have to have a way to deal with that. So when we return, we're going to talk about a really interesting and valuable piece of information that all structural bolting installers and suppliers should know.
Thanks, Carmen. This is Joe Morris with the Fastener Training Institute. It is April, springtime, and a great time to invest in some fastener training. Did you know you can become a certified fastener specialist and take just one class per month? Yep, that's 7 courses in 7 months. Each class includes a full day of instruction, training materials you can take with you, and a certificate of completion. After all 7 classes and passing the final exam, you will receive an engraved plaque with CFS designation. Our first single-day CFS class for 2017 is on April 11th with Fastener Manufacturing Plant Tours. During this class, you'll get an up-close look at fasteners being made. We will be touring Risco, R&D Fasteners, and Mr. Washerman. This is an extremely beneficial course for anyone in the fastener industry and open to all, not just those seeking to become a CFS. Also this month, the Fastener Training Institute is launching our first 2 courses in our CFS 2.0 curriculum, which is the next generation of courses for all of you CFS grads out there. These classes are open to everyone. Please join us. The curriculum is going to focus on case-based learning, where students will work in teams to solve fastener-related problems that you face in your day-to-day jobs. The first class is Automotive Fastener Technology on April 24th in Troy, Michigan. This class was created to provide a better understanding of automotive fasteners. It is perfect for fastener manufacturers, service providers, tier suppliers, and OEMs. This 2-day training emphasizes a hands-on approach along with in-depth technical content. Instructors are Salim Brahimi and Lawrence Klaus, who will be joined by Brian Lowry of Curtis Metal Finishing Company. Later in the same week, on April 26th in Wixom, Michigan, Salim Brahimi and Carmen Vertullo will present Hydrogen Embrittlement, Understanding, Testing, and Prevention. This is a very, very hands-on class. Attendees will learn how to do hydrogen embrittlement testing and come away equipped to do it. This advanced and technical class is open to all, but again, the CFS 2.0 2.0 designation is available only to those who have already completed the CFS series. Lastly, please don't forget about our April webinar, which is Bolted Joint Design. Carmen Vertullo will instruct this important topic on April 21st at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Please visit our website at fastenertraining.org to view all of our classes, or just email me with questions or suggestions. My email is jom@fastenertraining.com. Now back to Carmen.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Carmen Vertullo with the Fastener Training Minute, and today we're in structural bolt territory. We're going to be talking about the tension control bolt, one of the most popular bolts in the structural world. And in this case, we had a installer, a supplier and an installer, who came under fire from an inspector because when the inspector was witnessing the test, a test called the lot assembly verification, tension verification test, the result of that test did not match exactly what the manufacturer's test report said. And the inspector wanted to complain about that, feeling that those two results should have been the same. The fact of the matter is there is nothing in the standard that requires them to be the same. In fact, the nature of the tension control bolt, the way it's tested at the factory, the way it's tested in the field, preclude them from being exactly the same. At the factory, we have brand new, possibly even wet lubrication on the bolt. That lubrication is a very big factor in the nut, bolt, and washer to making the system work. By the time we get that bolt out into the field, the lubrication is still there, of course, and it's probably still wet, but it may not work exactly the same. And the only requirement is that it provide enough lubrication to make the bolt perform its intended function, and that is to give the amount of tension required by the standard when the tail breaks off of the tension control bolt. In this case, because the numbers were coming out a little bit lower, although they were within spec, the inspector was complaining about that. Now, it was only a few number of bolts, so the supplier and the installer decided just to replace them instead of having an argument. But if it were a larger number of bolts, or maybe there were some severe financial or possibly job schedule implications with this, you need to be able to make your case. And the RCSC specification simply states that we have to be able to prove that our tension control bolt delivers the required tension, not that it matches the original manufacturer's test reports. Well, this is a very important piece of information for structural bolting people to have. I assume this is probably not the first time this has happened or the last. This has been Carmen Vertullo with your Fastener Training Minute. Thanks for listening.
This is a traveling salesman at Fastener Talk, fastenerblog.net, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you. It's the blowtorch of the fastener industry, Fully Threaded Radio. Well, Brian, at the top of the show, we were talking quite a bit about our experience at the NFDA and PacWest meeting out there in Long Beach a couple of weeks back.
Right.
Great event.
Yeah, it was.
And we mentioned that the NFDA bestowed its first edition of a new award, Fastener Professional of the Year, and they gave that maiden award this time to Mr. Robbie Gilchrist, and he's been on the podcast before, but not for a long time, so we figured, gee, what a auspicious event to invite him back on the podcast, and I think he's out there with us right now. Robbie, out there?
I'm here. How you doing, guys?
Doing good, thanks.
Nice for you to invite me back. I miss spending time with you.
It's been too long, and you're joining us, I believe, from fabulous High Point, North Carolina. Is that it?
High Point, North Carolina, and today we're getting blown away with 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, it's Christmas in April all around the country this year, but we'll make the best of it. Well, congratulations, first off, Robbie. We were out there to witness you receiving this award from the NFDA. Yep. It was actually kind of a surprise to us. We weren't aware. Nobody advised us they were going to produce this award, and so we were at our big climactic dinner at the end of the conference, and they invited you up there and made this award, and it was just great. Your acceptance speech was wonderful, and of course your lovely wife Gina, seems like always there with you, and she was there, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah, Gina's by my side for the most of everything, has been for soon to be 30 years. Matter of fact, next week, the 18th, will be 30 years, our anniversary.
Oh, good. Great.
You might remember, you know, Gina and I met in a Southeastern Fastener Association meeting some 30 years ago. So, yeah, she's been very involved with me and, of course, I with her and, you know, our lives revolving around, you know, the fastener industry. So, yeah, we were real excited to receive that award. We did know about it. I got a request from Mark Strandquist to make sure that I was going to be at the meeting. We had not a rich plan to go, to be honest. It was a little further for a few days than what we wanted to try to travel in March. And, of course, making arrangements like that, not knowing what the weather is going to be on particularly the East Coast side over here, we went, and we were glad we did. It was great to see so many people there that we you know, had missed, and was just tickled to death and thrilled to death that the NFJ wanted to honor me like that.
Actually, it was a pretty good showing of all sorts of people. So I met lots of people again I haven't seen for ages.
So yeah, those PacWest folks really jumped in there. It was good to see some of those folks again, for sure.
Yeah, that's outside a little bit of your main geographic field of expertise, but you fit right in there, and of course you're really an international man of the fastener industry, so that's no surprise whatsoever. A lot of folks know you from the Gilchrist Foundation, and that's something that you and Gina have been operating for a number of years. You know, I was reading the story at globalfastenernews.com that was summarizing the Fastener Professional of the Year award. And they were pointing out that you and Gina have awarded about 50 students so far with the scholarships. I mean, that's pretty momentous.
Yes, sir. We're somewhere in that neighborhood. This will be year number 17 that we've done it.
Wow.
To be able to do it, and look forward to doing it for, you know, years to come.
So how do you select the people for the award then? I mean, are you personally involved in that?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, Gina and I are the ones that do it.
Okay, good.
We've got a little routine that we've put together over the years, and where we've developed, along with past references from the couple different trade associations we've been involved with their scholarship selection. So we've kind of put together a little spreadsheet kind of effect that we check off, you know, the requirements to see who's done the fundamental stuff. And then we weigh it quite a bit, quite honestly, on the summary that they put together, our essay. It's interesting to hear what somebody's past has been and what, you know, how bright they're looking for their future. I mean, some of these young people are really quite dynamic in their thought process, and we're just thrilled to death to be able to give them a little bit of assistance to try to achieve those thought processes they're looking for.
Yeah,
we've got, quite honestly, we've got people that, you know, left the Fastener Association because the criteria is for them to be active or want to be active and or their family in some manner or another. But we keep up with quite a few of them. We get letters from them. We get emails from them. We certainly see a lot of their parents, you know, in various places that we visit. We've got doctors. We've got lawyers. We've got computer tech people. We've got fastener executives that have received, you know, scholarships. So they've gone to all kinds of uses, you know, in the industry and in life, you know, itself. So yeah, it's been a nice, rewarding thing we put together, and the criteria that we've established. We feel real good about it.
Well, you said during your comments upon receiving the award, relationships are made at trade association meetings, and I guess that's true. I mean, the proof is in the pudding there, right? You're big fan of those, and that's actually where you and I first met. Had a few whiskeys, I think, there, and had a few laughs, and we've been talking ever since.
Absolutely. And you had more than a few, but yeah, it worked out.
You were meant to drop that. We might have to edit that out.
Yeah, come on, Robbie.
But yes, our relationship has been very good, and I've been very thrilled and honored to know you as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, you were a founding member of CFA, the Southeast Fastener Association. Are you by any chance heading out to the New Orleans event?
Yes, we were one of the, I was working for one of the founding companies of that back at that time, and I got very active early on, you know, with the group. In fact, I guess it was year two or something. So, yeah, we were instrumental with, you know, some of those assets that went along with that group. No, we're not, I'm not going to make it this time. That happens to be the my 30th wedding anniversary day. So we're, we've got another little trip planned to celebrate that anniversary. So I've alerted Nancy and several of the other folks that I would not be attending this particular one. So all the years that they've had these meetings, I've probably missed, you know, half a dozen or something like that. So I'm sad that I'm not going to be able to go, but my anniversary things come to the top of the shelf.
Well, I'd say that's a pretty valid excuse for missing that affair, but there's not many others. You know, I wanted to get your observation on something, though. And this is something that we talk a lot about on the podcast, and you operating the scholarship. It's probably something you have some thoughts on, but what do you make of the participation of young folks in the various associations as you travel around? Because we see and we make observations from time to time outside the young fastener professionals. Seems like the younger set is a little bit, well, how do you say it? They're just not as present.
You're at a real crossroads in the industry today, I think, from my observation. We have quite a few young people there, and the young people that are there are interested in what's going on, converse to what I think maybe the previous generation, you know, was. And I made mention that night at the PacWest NFTA gathering when the award was presented that this generation and board members and a couple of the previous ones had brought the NFTA back to their higher level, I'm going to say. There was a group for a number of years that shoveled it off to an independent organization, and they didn't think that it had to be participated in, you know, to be run solidly and to be, you know, progressive and productive. Again, that's my observation. However, in today's environment, too, the young folks that are there, again, bring some tremendous ideas to the table. I was really pleased to sit around the round table during the one afternoon session there and listen to some of these folks and the ideas they had. And, of course, in my case, particularly technology-related, even though I feel like I'm reasonably technology, you know, forward, but to listen to some of those things, I'm not as forward as I like to be. But these young folks are products of entrepreneurial situations that were developed by their, in most cases, their parents or their grandparents. We have not near as many independent, privately owned companies as we once did. So the corporations that have evolved from the buyouts to roll-ups, the mergers, whichever phraseology you like to use, some of them don't believe in sending people to trade association meetings. And the biggest one of all, obviously, are the fine folks at Fastenal who do a good job in their own right in their model of doing business. But they could certainly enhance their situation, too, by sending some of their, quote, how would I say, executives or chosen ones to participate in some of the regional meetings. They could learn a whole lot more and bring back to their, you know, quarter as well. But I think going forward, the young people with all their resources today do realize that they do need some partnerships, they do need some solid relationships, and they can't get it all from texting or, you know, working email. So I look forward to seeing more young people come back into the associations and back into the relationship market as well as, you know, the fastener market.
Yeah, you got to watch yourself with phrases like the relationship market.
Anything can be skewed.
Yeah, you got to watch your terminology these days. You know, with the NCFA, we went to a comedy club last night. That was the outing that we decided on for our spring outing, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. But I got to say, racy, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can ask Marty Nolan about that. It was pretty funny because he was like the chosen one. He was like the whipping boy of all of the comics. Anyway, point being, yeah, not that it was fastener specific. They were just pointing out the differences between the generations and how now they're communicating with the Pinterest and shooting photos back and forth and so forth. But that also is, quote-unquote, the relationship market. So it'll be interesting to see, Robbie, if if your observation comes true and they do kind of make a re-entry in, and if the YFP can facilitate that.
Yeah, well, I noticed that at the show in Las Vegas last year, Fastenal did have a big representation of some of their younger people, the particularly their product engineers, actually. So they go to the Las Vegas show, and there were quite a heap of them there.
That's good to hear that they're branching out like that. And of course, they've purchased some private companies too over the last few years, which, you know, was not their model, you know, in years past. So maybe some of those acquisitions that they're going through are maybe throwing a little bit different, you know, vision, you know, toward them as they talk to some of the executives from the companies they've acquired.
Could be.
Yeah, I ran into a bunch of them on the show floor out there in Vegas too, Bri, but yeah, they're nowhere when it comes to either the NFDA or the regionals.
They don't even go to staff day either, which was really kind of surprising to me. I did go to the show out in Las Vegas back in November. I'm trying to think of the name of it now. It was a huge show, probably the biggest one I've been to since I used to do the National Truck Equipment Association thing. FabTech was the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's related to the metalworking, finishing industry, that kind of thing. But Fastenal was the only fastener-related company showing there. But they weren't showing fasteners. They were showing their abrasive line, again, because of the metalworking, fabrication, assembly people, you know, that were there.
So yeah, we went to one of the fab techs in Chicago. Remember, Eric, that's when we met up with J.R. Prowl, and JHP Fastening was there.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It was a great show, yeah.
And they're also showcasing their vending operation.
Yeah, true.
And don't forget, on the subject of Fastenal, they have their huge annual show down in Florida where it's wall-to-wall Fastenal, and they have all their vendors come, and it has been discussed on the podcast previously. I've been fishing for an invitation for years, but anyway.
Well, they also have a gathering somewhere in the country for their major customer base too. And they bring the major customer base in for a day or two or something like that and have their own internal show for their customers also.
Yeah, I think that's the one we're talking about, this one down in Florida every spring.
Yeah.
Well, this was a year or so ago when I was out making sales calls, because, you know, I still do work every day, believe it or not. When I was out making sales calls, I went by the Fastenal over in Knightdale, North Carolina, and the young man that I'd seen before, the manager, I asked, you know, where he was. He said, oh, he took so-and-so, whoever the customer was, I don't recall the name now, but took them to the National Fastenal Customer Show. So it's a different environment than the their internal show, which I guess has been in Orlando for a number of years. But they do a variety of things comparable to that, just as well as they do some open houses and cookouts and things like that too. So I think they're a forward-looking group, and I think most, you know, smaller distributors can certainly learn some relationship deals from Fastenal as well.
Right. What a good point there. But mainly what you're saying is I'm not getting invited to two shows.
That's a good way to look at it, Eric.
Now, speaking of working every day, so you sold your main operation back in, what was it, like 99 or 2000 or something like that. And so, I mean, come on, you're doing a lot of your work on the golf course. Let's be honest, right?
Well, not really.
You got a pretty good game, Robbie. I've seen you shoot.
You know, you go to market a lot different today than what you did, you know, 20, 25, you know, years or so ago. And as you mentioned earlier, we talked about emails and texting and, you know, podcasts and, you know, things of that nature. So instead of working, you know, 100 hours a week like I once did, running around and staying up till midnight trying to figure out the next step, I've cut that back, and as I tell a few people, and you may have heard me say it out in California, I'm working part-time now. I'm only working about 50 hours a week, but I like to think I'm working a little bit smarter than I was, you know, using some of this technology that I alluded to, you know, a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Of course, does come into play on occasion.
Yeah, I'm glad you did add that in, okay?
Rob me of that, okay?
Right.
Well, speaking directly about the fastener trade, then you've definitely got a pulse on the industry. And of course, your main area of operation, geographically at least, is out there in the South. And you can expand on that and define that a little better for us. But what are you seeing in the industry? I mean, what's your read on things? We announced, as you might have heard earlier in the podcast, the Fastener Distributor Index for March. Those numbers reached a new all-time high at 60.0, which a lot of people are discussing right now. I mean, what are you seeing out there?
Everybody I run across these days, both face-to-face or on the telephone, are busy. There's a few of them that are hiring people. It seems like every week or so I get an email saying, I'm looking for such and such. Can you point me in the right direction? Or I'm looking for a good salesman. Well, the good salesmen got jobs. You know, the ones that aren't good salespeople, you know, haven't been, you know, groomed or kept around. But people are busy. You know, they can say it in a whole lot of different ways. The segment in the South that I've run across is probably the softest, but I've had some dialogue recently that is improving, has been in the heavy truck market, because, you know, we're pretty well saturated in the South here with two, possibly three of the large truck makers, i.e. Freightliner, you know, Volvo, Mack.
Yeah.
But also with, you know, the two primary school bus manufacturers in the country, too. They're, and, you know, they went down a little bit, particularly the truck did, because trucks are, you know, like on a five-year secular kind of rotation. You know, they buy a truck, they'll drive it whatever the, you know, prescribed thing is, 2 million miles, 3 million miles, or whatever it is, and then they change it out. So sales go down, obviously, and then they pick back up. Construction is really booming. Charleston, South Carolina, because of the new Volvo car plant down there, is just booming. We came back through earlier in the week from a trip to Florida, making sales calls as well. Savannah is extremely busy. They've added on to the Gulfstream plant down there, which, you know, makes the largest non-commercial jetliner in the country, or jet plane in the country, whatever. That place is really busy. Orlando, as we mentioned earlier, is just nutso. Roads being built, theme parks being built. The guys at House of Thread in Orlando told me they shipped 80 tons of structural bolts to the new park that Universal's building down there.
Oh, my goodness.
Condos, private residences, it's just all over Florida. It's just extremely busy, you know, with residential, commercial, and touristy-related, you know, business such as those theme parks. Charlotte, North Carolina's building, you know, high-rise condos downtown. Widening roads, Greenville, South Carolina, comparable. Columbia, South Carolina, the same way. Chesapeake area, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, whichever phrase you like to use, where the largest naval operation is, the United States.
Yeah.
They're building houses up there. They've actually torn down a lot of military housing and rebuilding it because it had, you know, age on it. So that part's doing is picked back up. With this new administration, there's some more money going toward military infrastructure. So those distributors that are involved with shipbuilding, ship repair, you know, the Army bases, whatever, they're very proactive as to what's happening over the next few weeks. So you're rightly so, the fastener index that you transmit there should be up. Most people, you know, are working on record years already. And here we are just beginning the second quarter. So what do we attribute it to? I think there's a lot of pent-up demand out there. I played golf a few weeks ago with high-end fund managers at Oppenheimer Funds, and they were very, very bullish on what was coming down the pike from securities, stocks, and what the industry is going to bring.
Yeah, well, things are clearly going really, really well because the economy is so vibrant that in Illinois they've added one more truck to the people filling up potholes in the tollways.
Oh, really?
No dreams of building new tollways, widening them, adding bridges, holding up things. No, they're trying to work out how to fill up the potholes without spending any money.
That sounds like South Carolina road work.
Yeah, well, Illinois is only like one step down from where California's at. They spend all their money on God knows what
projects, but they sure didn't spend it on buttressing up their dams and their water infrastructure. That's for sure, right, guys?
No kidding.
I think Illinois is one step down from Zaire or the Congo, actually.
Hey, you know, Robbie, while you were mentioning what's going on there, you kind of gave us a very circumspect view of the South and the market there. There's a lot of the influences that are affecting our market. Do you still see in the Carolinas that it's expanding as a retirement destination? I know for a while you read quite a bit about that in the headlines and things, and then it kind of fell off, at least the papers that I read. Is that still going on? I mean, is it a retirement business still expanding down there?
It is. I'm not going to call it a retirement mecca, but there are areas of the states that people are, you know, moving into, and they are being touted as being, you know, nice destinations. And most of the people that are moving into those areas are, you know, baby boomers that have sold their bigger homes, whether they're in the Midwest, you mentioned Chicago, or whether they're up in New Jersey or wherever, wanting a little better climate. So they come to, you know, the coastal areas of North and South Carolina. They come to the mountains of North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina area, Hendersonville. You know, that's been a very popular retirement, you know, area for several years. So, yeah, they're all, the areas are, I think, seen as a cleaner and more vibrant area for seniors to where they can have a little bit better atmosphere and climate. And I think climate's a real key part of it.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. I mean, my folks moved out of the Midwest many years ago out to Arizona. Their blood is thin as water these days, so, you know, 78 degrees is chilly to them. But as I've heard lately, there's a couple other places in the country that are developing as real havens for retirement. I mean, it's shifting. I mean, for a while there, it was out in Nevada, but there are some other states right now. Reason I'm kind of focusing on this, though, is because the demographics of the country are definitely shifting, and as the population shifts, this is where a lot of business is going to be happening, construction-wise and otherwise.
Yeah, you get a lot of construction business from residential side. You get a lot of construction business, too, from the healthcare side of it as well.
Big time.
And I see that in a lot of places as well. But wherever these baby boomers retire to, as they continue to age, they're going to need more and more health care, obviously. So those sectors have been real big growth for construction and for, you know, personnel. Absolutely. I read an article the other week, by the way, Eric, Brian, about St. George, Utah being a retirement destination also.
I've read about Utah, lower, too.
Yeah, that lower corner. Utah, yeah.
I don't even know where that is, actually. Which corner? It must be the southwest corner.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
Yeah, very far south. Yeah. Almost to wherever the border states are. Was it New Mexico and I don't remember if it's Texas or not. But anyway, get your map out and look. Yeah, it's way down that corner. And it's supposed to be, climate-wise, pretty temperate even in the wintertime down that way.
Well, Utah's been growing in appeal for a lot of different demographics, not just for the retirement set. You know, the preppers and so forth, they've been eyeing Utah, and I guess we don't need to necessarily get into that. I don't know how much fastener business we're going to generate out of it, but...
unless they build some houses and use drywall.
Well, underground bunkers, more like, you know? I mean, there, a lot of fasteners go into those. Maybe it's kind of a underserved market when I think about it now, Robbie.
It could be.
Bomb shelters.
Yep.
That's the way the world's going. But there's a lot of activity going on above ground as well. What else you see going down the road here for the fastener industry, Robbie? I mean, you are the Fastener Professional of the Year. What wisdom can you bestow upon us that we can keep our eyes on as we forge into 2017 further?
Turn over every rock, everyone you walk by. There could be a customer underneath that rock that you would not necessarily stop and talk to on a given day. Don't ride by without turning over the rock.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
I don't know how deep it is because of how big the rock is, I guess. But yeah. The point being made is there's a lot of customers out there that are ready to move on to a new vendor or personality that they can get along with better than their current environment. And unfortunately, so many people get complacent in those areas and, you know, don't want to call on new people, or they'll turn one off that, you know, bumps into them accidentally or whatever. But we're all looking for growth. If you're not growing, you're backing up, as the old saying goes. So you gotta keep digging, you gotta keep, you know, talking, you gotta keep advertising, you gotta keep, you know, answering the questions, and you gotta perform. So turn over those rocks and you'll find what you're looking for.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have some sage advice from this year's Fastener Professional of the Year Award winner, Robbie Gilchrist. He said during his acceptance speech out there in Long Beach recently that relationships are made at trade association meetings, and I'm inferring elsewhere, including under rocks. And I think that's what we're going to be doing, Robbie. We're going to take your advice and jam along here in 2017, and thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. But before we let you go, please let us know where folks can get more information about the Gilchrist Foundation and you and Gina's efforts in the scholarship department.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always great to kick things around with you guys, two of the best conversationalists that I know. But the foundation cutoff date is May 31st this year. You can get the application online at the Gilchrist Foundation website, which is gilchristfoundation.com. And Gilchrist is spelled G-I-L-C-H-R-I-S-T foundation.com. It'll have all the information you need to compile your application and forward it on to us.
Okay. And you know that Robbie's going to personally look at it and weigh it up, okay?
For sure. It's really, really a lot of fun to go through those applications and see the quality of people that apply for those scholarships. A lot of fun.
Well, you're doing a great service to the industry. We sure do appreciate it. You got recognized out there. Congratulations again, Robbie Gilchrist, and it's Fully Threaded Radio.
Online Fastener Talk Radio. Hey, at least it kills time on long road trips. Fully Threaded Radio.
You probably know that Lindstrom is an industry leader in metric fasteners. And there's a good chance you know we recently expanded to provide a wide range of high-grade inch fasteners. But what you probably don't know is that Lindstrom has made a serious commitment to earn your socket business. How serious? Well, let's start with 11,000 products. Announcing Lindstrom's expanded line of socket products, including socket head cap screws, flathead socket cap screws, button head socket cap screws, socket shoulder screws, and more. Plain, plated, or patched. In a full range of inch and metric sizes. Special lengths and thread pitches available through in-house fabrication. Always packed to your specification. Lindstrom. Flexibility, choice, and value at every turn. Here for everything distributors need. To learn more about Lindstrom and our expanded line of socket products, visit LindstromSockets.com. Lindstrom, by any measure. To speak with a sales representative, call 1-800-328-2430.
Fastener Distributors. 3Q Inc. is the best-kept secret for all of your fastener needs. 3Q is the premier sourcing solution for the fastener distribution market. 3Q offers stock and release programs on all special fastener products, from flat washers, lock nuts, cold form specials, to bolts and screws. Looking to add the highest quality line of self-drilling screws? Check out the pull-tight line of serrated self-drilling screws. They bite. Distributors who know of 3Q wonder how they ever operated before without the high level of service and quality support provided by 3Q and their staff. The number 3, the letter Q. 3Q Inc. Quality products, quality service, quality customers. Welcome to 3Q.
Did you know Mexico accounts for 34% of all trade in Latin America? Hi, everybody. It's Lynn Dempsey, here to announce the meeting point for the Latin American fastener industry. It's Mack Brooks Fastener Fair Mexico, which takes place on June 20th and 21st, 2017, in Mexico City. Fastener Fair Mexico attracts manufacturers, distributors, suppliers, and end users from across Latin America's fastest-growing industries. With over 2,000 buyers, more than 200 exhibiting companies from around the world, and a highly informative distributor business development conference, this third edition of the show is set to be the biggest yet. As the leader in worldwide fastener exhibitions, Mack Brooks has pulled out all the stops to provide maximum value for any fastener distributor operating or considering doing business in Latin America. Don't miss Fastener Fair Mexico, June 20th and 21st in Mexico City. For booth space, details, and to register online, log on to www.fastenerfair.com/Mexico. That's fastenerfair.com/Mexico.
I need quarter 20x2 zinc plated socket head cap screws ASAP. My customer has a line down and needs Saturday delivery. Help!
Solution Man Ken. I have over $1 million in zinc plated sockets in stock, and I'll gladly drop ship directly to your customer on Saturdays. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Is there anything you can't do, Solution Man?
When it comes to fasteners, nothing I can think of, ma'am. I'm not too good at bowling, though.
Hey, everybody, this is Kirk from Branham Fastening, and you're listening to my buds, Eric and Brian, of Fully Threaded Radio. Fascinating.
Hey, Brian, whatever happened to Glow Golf?
Well, as you know, not being a golfer, I was not really ever into that thing. I know that you were happy to accompany golfers around the course in the evenings playing Glow Golf.
There was a couple of years there where a lot of the associations, they were having events that involved golf and nighttime and cocktails, and I don't know, it seemed like a great idea, but it seemed like it went away. The reason I bring it up is because the first time I hung out with Robbie, we were wandering around a golf course somewhere, I think it was outside of Atlanta, and had a really good time. And I don't know if anybody who's involved with the associations hears this and you've forgotten about Glow Golf, you might want to reconsider it. Just kind of a fastener industry public service, Bry.
Maybe that's just one of the definitions of a good time, which is wandering around at nighttime drinking, following a litter ball in the golf course.
With fastener friends.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But as we all know, there's so much more to it. We'll get to that on an upcoming episode of the podcast. But until then, we'd like to thank our guests on today's episode, Robbie Gilchrist, Fastener Professional of the Year, and Christy Jones with Spiral International Corporation, Jeff Kammerer. He's all involved with the M&A side of the business for Fastenal. Caught him on the road. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us, Jeff. Mike McNulty had Kevin Miller on with him talking about the FDI numbers. Great job, guys. And thanks for tearing it up again like the old days, Mike. And Carmen Vertulo had the Fastener Training Minute. The title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Stelfast and Lindstrom. Stelfast, for service you deserve and people you trust. Lindstrom, by any measure. Also sponsoring Fully Threaded Radio, 3Q, Buckeye Fasteners, Fastenal, Fastener Technology International, Fastener Fair Mexico, InSequel Software, the National Industrial Fastener and Mill Supply Expo, ND Industries, The Wirth Group, Volt Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Thanks so much for clicking in today, everybody. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're an iPhone user or an iPad user, you can certainly do so out there on iTunes. Get with us if you have comments or questions.
Spread the word. Tell your friends to listen to the podcast, too, if they don't know about it.
Or if you just want to unmask one of them.
Okay.
The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com. On Twitter, we're out there under the handle Fully Threaded.
Yeah, I don't want to do too much unmasking, but I think that the people who are working out our FDI number might need to sharpen their pencils up a bit. I think it's a little higher than I would have expected given what I see of the numbers.
Is that right? So you thought maybe it had a little bit of extra mojo in there it didn't deserve?
I think so. That's my view, but who knows? Maybe everyone else in the industry thinks that's the right number.
Well, we had a heck of a lot of respondents this time. I mean, it's definitely a representative number, and it's a relative month by month. So, I mean, I know we got that data. It's just you're thinking maybe it's a tad more optimistic. Maybe you're just feeling the effects of Dr. Connerly, and you're a little bit more of a realist.
Yeah, well, I look at the numbers all the time, so you're right, I get the chance of being a realist.
Well, we're slogging it out here down in the trenches.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've been throwing this unmasking around quite a bit, and, you know, lately, of course, the headlines have all involved the U.S. bombing various places in the world, and along with that, it seems like it blew the unmasking headlines off the front page, but for a while, that was all you heard, and the funny thing is, there was really, you know, previous to this, I mean, did you ever hear people talking about unmasking this, unmasking that, everybody's unmasking somebody? I mean, it got really weird, man, don't you think?
Well, it's the word of the minute, isn't it? Somehow, it's like if we go back a few years, you know, we had another word of the minute that was sickening, okay?
What was that?
Gravitas.
Oh, yeah.
If I ever hear anyone go through that, the way they used to talk, you know, talk about these washed-up politicians in adulatory manner and awarding them with all sorts of praises that none of them were ever due. And this word gravitas kept on coming up, especially from my friend Skippy, okay?
Skippy Stephanopoulos.
Your friend.
Yeah, well, point being, I mean, when the media latches onto some catchphrase,
yeah,
they all obviously get the talking points, and then they all just spew it endlessly until we're, I guess, really until we drop bombs on some Middle Eastern country is what it amounts to, unfortunately. But, you know, that's a whole other issue. It's got a lot of people really nauseated, but, oh, my God, it was like, you know, before this, the only unmaskings that I can ever really remember would have been probably, I don't know, like the original Batman series. You know, the Joker or the Penguin, they were always threatening to unmask Batman.
Right.
You might not have had that down in Australia, or maybe you did, or in New Zealand, I mean. Then, of course, there was Kiss. I remember the rock band Kiss. They had Kiss Unmasked, which got way more attention than it deserved. I guess I was a member of the Kiss Army briefly, but...
Oh, thank you for your service.
I guess they ultimately were unmasked. That was a big yawn also, because for some reason they went back to their war paint. But anyway, folks, where are we going with this? I don't know, other than to say hopefully we have shown you the true face of the fastener industry in some small way. And I guess with that, we'll put episode 115 of Fully Threaded Radio in the can.
And look forward to the next one.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
For Brian Musker, this is Eric Dudas. Get out there, sell some screws, keep your mask on, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hold it on very tight. Till next time. Till next time, folks.
Fully Threaded Radio is a production of Fasteners Clearinghouse. Music provided by Audionautics.
Hi, this is Cheryl Dunham of Sasco Fasteners here in San Francisco in the afterglow of the PacWest Spring Conference. I don't listen to Fully Threaded Radio, but my husband Steve does.